This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, a radio first, an adaptation of one of the major works of Virginia Woolf, the novel Mrs. Dalloway. Virginia Woolf is, of course, generally ranked as one of the foremost figures of English literature of this century. And her novel, Mrs. Dalloway, is regarded by many critics as her masterpiece. It's a delicately balanced work, however, and one of extreme subtlety, both of style and psychological insight. In short, it's a difficult book to bring to radio. However, we think that you'll be intrigued by today's adaptation, written for the NBC Theater by Clarice A. Ross of NBC. And at intermission, we'll bring you a listener's guide to the writings of Virginia Woolf and to Mrs. Dalloway in particular by the distinguished American novelist and short story writer, Catherine Ann Porter. Miss Porter transcribed her commentary in New York earlier this week. Here now, Mrs. Dalloway by Virginia Woolf.
Mrs. Dalloway's residence? Now you mayn't speak to Mrs. Dalloway.
What's that?
What's that? Now you'll have to have him here before then. You know Mrs. Dalloway likes everything to be on time. Right.
Lucy? Lucy, who was that?
Only the people at Corey's, ma'am, about the little cakes for the party.
Oh, Lucy, isn't it a wonderful morning? So fresh and clear.
Ah, yes, ma'am. Wouldn't it have been a pity if it had been stormy?
Yes, with so much to do. Lucy, I'll go out and buy the flowers myself.
Oh, that's kind, ma'am.
You and Jenny and Mrs. Walker have enough to do. Now, remember, when the men come to take down the drawing room doors, be sure they don't get any scratches on the woodwork.
Yes, ma'am.
I've ordered 40 chairs from Rumpelmeyer's. Do you know if Mrs. Walker has everything she needs in the kitchen?
I believe so, ma'am. The chickens are just lovely.
All right, Lucy. If Mr. Dalloway or anyone should call, say I'll be back in a short while. What a wonderful morning. What a beautiful garden I have. Almost like the garden we used to have at home at Burton when I was a girl. How wonderful it was to walk there. But what was it Peter Walsh used to say?
Musing among the vegetables again, eh, Clarissa? I prefer men to cauliflowers.
Peter, he should be back from India soon. I won't think about him. This moment is what counts. Victoria Street and life all round me. The bellow and the uproar, the triumph and the jingle. Westminster, where I've lived. How long? 20 years. London, this moment of genius. And now, here is England himself, marching along with the government buildings at his back and his dispatch case stamped with the royal arms. England in the person of Hugh Whitbread, the admirable Hugh.
Why, good morning to you, Clarissa. Where are you off to?
Doing a few errands, Hugh. I love walking in London. It's better than walking in the country. Are you up in town for long?
I hope not, Clarissa. We want to let Sir William Bradshaw take another look at Evelyn.
Oh, dear. Is Evelyn ill again?
Evelyn is a good deal out of sorts. But you, Clarissa, you might be a girl of 18.
Oh, I'm 50 and you know it. My love to Evelyn. I hope she'll be at my... You'll be at my party tonight.
I shall indeed, Clarissa. Good morning to you.
Who's a good sort, really? Richard could never abide him. No more could Peter.
An imbecile, nothing but a barber's bluff. No heart, no brain, nothing but manners and breeding. The outsides of an English gentleman.
What would Peter say about all of us if he were here now?
You will spend your life standing at the top of the staircase. You have the makings of a perfect hostess.
How I cried over that. And that dreadful scene in St. James Park. I was right not to marry him. I couldn't marry Peter.
But I adore you, Clarissa.
There must be some give and take in marriage, some independence. Richard has given me that. Poor Peter never would have. But why poor Peter? Perfectly happy, he always said. But his whole life's a failure. He's never done a single thing he talked of. But does it matter? I must buy a book for Hugh's wife, a book for Evelyn. She's ill again. And what book shall I take her?
Jorrocks, Jorts and Jollities.
Soapy Sponge? Or perhaps Mrs. Asquith's memoirs? Or what about big game hunting in Nigeria?
Those won't do. Those would never please Evelyn.
I like people to be pleased with me. Think this or that of me. I walk up Bond Street being Mrs. Richard Dalloway. And here is the shop where they used to make such perfect gloves. Elizabeth cares nothing for gloves. My own daughter, and she cares nothing for gloves. Only her dog and that dreadful Miss Kilman. Everything's Miss Kilman. It's got to stop. Sitting all day in a stuffy bedroom with a prayer book. It's got to stop.
It's only a phase, Clarissa. All girls go through them.
But, Richard, why should it be Miss Kilman?
Well, she's very poor. Perhaps Elizabeth feels sorry for her. She's very able, too, you know.
But they're inseparable. And now Elizabeth doesn't care how she dresses or how she treats anyone.
Oh, it's this new religious ecstasy. It makes one callous.
Indeed it must. To be able to sit in the same room with Miss Kilman. I don't believe she's had that green coat off for 5 years. And she makes me feel so inferior.
Inferior? Clarissa? Oh, you?
Yes, inferior. She's always making me feel how rich I am and how poor she is. As if it were all my fault.
Oh, don't hate her, dear. She's had a lot of hard luck, you know.
I don't hate her. I don't hate her. Now, what flowers shall I buy? Sweet peas? No. Carnations? No. I don't hate her. It's only that I like beauty and friendship and being well and having a delightful home. And she makes me feel as though it were all nothing but self-love. Nonsense. I won't think about it. Good morning, Miss Pym.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Dalloway. Some lovely flowers today? The roses are perfect, Mum.
Yes, aren't they? How fresh they look. Like clean laundry.
Pardon me, Mrs. Dalloway?
Nothing, Miss Pym. I'm not quite sure. I'm having a party tonight, you see, and I don't know whether to put the same flowers in every room or whether to have them different.
Might I suggest, Mrs. Dalloway, that perhaps some of...
What in the world?
Dear, those motor cars. It's that one just outside. Something seems to be the matter with it. Why, Mrs. Dalloway, look here.
What is it, Miss Pym?
Their car. That's royalty in there, that is.
Let me see. Why, I believe you're right, Miss Pym. Surely that is one of the palace cars.
Can't see anything. The blinds are pulled down on all the windows, but look at everybody stopping to stare.
Yes, the whole street seems to be standing still to look. That little man over there standing by the curb with the pretty girl.
Like he was nailed to the pavement. Look at him stare. You'd think he'd stare behind him. Just look at him.
Let us go now, Septimus. Please let us go now.
Everything drawn together. Everything focused in one spot. The world will burst into flames. Don't they know that?
Septimus, the car is gone now. Please let us go.
Car? It was I who was blocking the way. Everybody's looking at me, pointing at me.
No, Septimus, truly they're not.
Why are they? Why?
I wonder who was in the car. The Queen. Maybe it was the Queen going shopping.
All right, come on. People will notice. People will see.
See what?
Me. See me. Everyone will know.
Know what? Please, dear, don't talk that way. Please, let's cross the street now. Sit here, dear. Dr. Holmes said it would be good for you to sit in the park. Oh, Septimus, look.
Where?
Look up. There's a plane in the sky. It's writing something. It's writing letters in smoke.
Signaling. Signaling to me. I won't see it. It'll drive me mad. I'll not go mad. I'll see no more.
You're not mad, Septimus. You've been working too hard, that's all.
The leaves are alive. The trees are alive. Everything. It's all part of a pattern.
Septimus, I think I'll walk to the fountain and back.
Yes, go.
Yes, go. You're happy without me. I'm never happy without you. Dr. Holmes says there's nothing the matter with you. Septimus, you won't kill yourself.
I said I would.
Why didn't you leave me in Italy? Why didn't you leave me in Milan, in the garden with my sisters? Now I'm here. I'm your wife. And I'm all alone.
Listen to that sparrow. It's chirping. Septimus? Septimus?
There is a God, Lucretia.
What are you saying?
Interrupting. You're always interrupting.
Look. Oh, look.
At what?
Nothing. Here, I'll ask this man. Please, sir, could you tell me the time?
Just a few minutes before 12 o'clock.
Come along, Septimus. It's time.
Is everything going all right, Lucy?
Oh, yes, Mum. Rumpel Myers was here.
Did Mr. Dalloway call?
He did, Mum. I gave him the message that was for him, but they're on the pad.
Lady Bruton wishes to know if Mr. Dalloway will lunch with her today.
Mr. Dalloway, Mum, told me to tell you he would be lunching out.
All right, Lucy. Thank you.
Yes, Mum.
Millicent Bruton. Lady Bruton. They say her lunch parties are very amusing. And she didn't ask me. She asked Richard. She didn't ask me. Well, it doesn't matter, really. Nothing can separate me from Richard. We love each other, don't we? It's hard to know about love, isn't it? I was in love with Sally Seaton. What was that except love? She sat on the floor.
Oh, dear.
She sat on the floor smoking a cigarette.
Oh, Sally! Oh, what's the matter, you goose?
Smoking cigarettes? Why, how can you?
Well, why not?
Why, it isn't proper.
Oh, Clarissa, you are a prude.
Oh, I'm not, but my papa and mama would never allow it. Would yours?
Oh, they don't know what I do. They're too busy quarreling.
Oh, Sally, how can you talk that way?
Well, why shouldn't they quarrel if they want to?
Well, don't talk about them. Sally, I think the way you fixed the flowers for dinner tonight was just lovely.
Oh? What did your Aunt Helena say to it?
Oh, Aunt Helena? Oh, well, she doesn't like anything that's different.
She doesn't like me. Oh, I shocked her properly the other day.
How?
I was all ready for my bath, and I found out I'd forgotten my sponge. So I came running back to my room after it, and she caught me in the hall.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. Only it seems that I hadn't stopped to put anything on.
Hadn't stopped? Oh, Sally. What if one of the gentlemen had seen you?
That's just what your Aunt Helena said.
What if they had?
Well, they didn't. And what if they had? Oh, Clarissa, you are such a goose.
I put on a white dress for dinner one night. A beautiful white dress. And I stood combing my hair, thinking, I'm going down to dinner, and Sally will be there. Peter Walsh wasn't nice to Sally. He wasn't nice to me. He said dreadful things.
Clarissa, I think you're cold and heartless, and a little prude.
And now, what dress shall I wear for my party tonight? Green silk. Green silk is lovely, but it's torn. I'll mend it. I'll take it down to the drawing room and mend it. Lucy! Lucy, I don't want to see anyone. I must finish mending this dress.
Mrs. Dalloway will see me. Oh, yes, she will see me. After 5 years, Clarissa, you will see me.
Peter? Peter Walsh?
How are you, Clarissa?
Oh, how heavenly to see you.
And you? How's Richard?
Richard's very well. Richard's at a committee.
Of course he is. How's your father?
He's dead.
Of course he is. I always wished I'd got on better with him.
But Father never liked anyone who... Well, any of my friends.
Anyone who wanted to marry her. Of course I did. I was more unhappy than I've ever been since. Why did you call that up?
I'm sorry.
Now you've been sitting here ever since, for 30 years, mending green silk dresses, cold and wooden as ever.
And what's happened to you?
I'm in love.
Are you?
With a girl in India. Her name is Daisy. She's the wife of a major in the Indian Army, and I've come to see my lawyers about her divorce.
What a waste.
She's lovely.
I don't mean that. Everything. What a waste. What a folly.
Yes.
Don't cry, Peter.
I'm not. I think I can see the moon behind you rising over the terrace at Burton in the summer sky.
We are in London, and it isn't even noon.
No, 11:30. I'll be going.
Peter, don't go. Peter, I'm having a party tonight. Remember my party? Peter, remember my party? Remember my party tonight?
It's all up with her. She's hard and sentimental at once. And it's all up with her. And I'm in love. But Clarissa refused me, and I'm a failure. I shall have to ask Richard Dalloway for some sort of job. Oh, that's all right. Dalloway's a good fellow. Who are these?
Children.
Boys coming to lay a wreath on somebody's tomb in Regent's Park. Fine training, wonderful training. Left, right, left, right, left, right. I can't keep up with them. But I'm not old. Only just past 50. And Clarissa wore a white dress, and she only wanted to talk to Sally Seaton. Then, when she did speak to me, we were always quarreling. We'd quarrel, and I'd be left after dinner with her old aunt, Helena.
Peter? Peter, are you listening to me?
I beg your pardon, Miss Sally. What are you saying?
I said I was delighted with that flower you found for me this afternoon.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Very rare specimen. I'm delighted to have it in my collection. Are you interested in botanical collections, Mr. Wickham?
I beg your pardon. My name is Dalloway.
My name is Dalloway. He looked at Clarissa all through dinner, and I said to myself, Clarissa will marry that man. How did I know? I said, Clarissa will marry Dalloway.
You row a boat beautifully, Mr. Dalloway.
Thank you, Miss Clarissa.
Peter, doesn't Mr. Dalloway row a boat beautifully?
Oh, beautifully.
Oh, don't call him Mr. Dalloway, Clarissa. Call him, my name is Dalloway. Dalloway, I think we've had enough of that feeble joke.
And I said, it's got to be finished one way or another. The next afternoon, we stood by the fountain. I remember the moss. It was so green. Such a vivid green.
All right, Peter. What do you want?
I want the truth. I want to know if you have an understanding with Richard Dalloway.
What if I have? You and I would never be happy.
Clarissa, you must marry me. You must.
It's no use, Peter. It's no use. This is the end.
Clarissa, don't go away. Clarissa! Clarissa!
Please, sir, could you tell me the time?
Just a few minutes before 12 o'clock.
Thank you. Come along, Septimus. It's time.
Do be careful, Septimus. That cart nearly splashed on your nice gray trousers. You must look nice. It's time to go to Sir William Bradshaw.
I'm not going to Sir William Bradshaw.
Yes, you are, dear. You must go. Sir William will make you well.
Evans is dead.
Yes, he's dead. Lots of people had friends killed in the war, Septimus. It happened to everybody.
He's dead. He was my friend. Why can't I feel anything?
You mustn't let yourself think about horrible things. We used to be so happy, Septimus.
Why have you taken off your wedding ring?
My hand's grown so thin. I put it in my purse.
Good. Then our marriage is over.
Oh, no, Septimus. You mustn't say things like that.
I am free. I, Septimus Warren Smith, the Lord of all men. I should be free. I could have been great. If only there hadn't been the war. If Evans hadn't died. If I hadn't discovered that I can't feel anything. If I hadn't gone into that room in Italy where Lucretia sat with her sisters, making hats.
Wouldn't you like to try? Here, buckram, silk, ribbons, feathers, everything you can want.
I could never do it. You've got hands like an artist.
Yes, the hands. It's all in the hands.
I couldn't feel. I couldn't see beauty or taste chocolate or hear music. I could read. I could read Shakespeare quite easily.
Septimus, do put down your book.
I could add up my bill in a cafe. My brain is perfect. It's the fault of the world that I can feel nothing.
The English are so silent.
I love you, Septimus, because you are so silent.
It's the world. The world is without meaning. Everything is so sordid.
Septimus, won't you put your arms around me?
Love is repulsive.
Septimus, I must have a child. We've been married 5 years. I want to have a son like you.
One cannot bring children into a world like this. It's to perpetuate suffering.
She's crying. Your wife is crying and you feel nothing. It's curious. It's very curious. I'll surrender.
All right, I'll surrender. Get someone to help me.
Hurry, Septimus. We'll be late for Sir William Bradshaw.
Well now, Mr. Warren Smith, I'm Dr. Holmes. Let's have a look at you.
Who are you?
Dr. Holmes. Your landlady sent me in. Your wife asked her to send someone. Well, I can see there's nothing the matter with you. Nothing at all.
Oh, what a good, kind man. Dr. Holmes, you're a good man.
Not a thing the matter with him, Mrs. Warren Smith. You know, Mr. Warren Smith, when I get in a funk like this, I just take a day off and go out with my wife and have a round of golf. Ever try 2 tablets of bromide and a glass of water at bedtime? Or to throw yourself into outside interests, my dear sir. Take up some hobby. I'm particularly interested in old furniture myself.
Lucretia, don't let that man in again. Don't let that man in again.
He says you can't come in again.
Does he now? Look here, Mr. Warren Smith. I understand you've talked of killing yourself. Now, I don't think that's quite fair to your wife. You take my word for it. There's nothing whatever the matter with you. Next time, I want to find you out of bed, not making that charming little wife of yours so worried about you.
Human nature is on me. Holmes is on me. He comes every day. Once you stumble, human nature is on you. Holmes is on you. We've got to get away. To Italy. Anywhere. Anywhere away from Dr. Holmes.
But I don't understand you, Septimus. Dr. Holmes is such a kind man. He only wants to help us.
Deserted, Septimus. The whole world saying, kill yourself, kill yourself. Listen, it's Evans talking. Evans! Evans!
Mrs. Smith! Mrs. Smith! Come quick, Mr. Smith's talking to himself again.
Now, Septimus, what is it? Look, I bought some flowers. I got them from a poor man in the street.
So he's outside. Evans is outside.
Septimus, what are you saying? I must send for Dr. Holmes. Send for Dr. Holmes! My husband's mad!
Talking nonsense again, Mr. Warren Smith. Just nonsense to frighten your wife. I don't think you have confidence in me, Mr. Warren Smith. Perhaps you ought to go to Harley Street if you have no confidence in me.
Now, Mr. Warren Smith, how long has Dr. Holmes been attending you?
6 weeks.
Yes, and prescribed the bromide, you say. Said there was nothing the matter. On the contrary. On the contrary. Mr. Warren Smith, you served with great distinction in the war.
War? I failed.
He served with the greatest distinction. He was promoted.
I have the highest opinion of you at your office. You have no financial anxiety. No worries.
I have. I've committed a terrible crime. I've been condemned to death.
He has done nothing wrong whatever.
If Mr. Warren Smith will excuse us, Mrs. Warren Smith, we might perhaps have a little talk. Your husband is very ill, Mrs. Warren Smith. He threatened to kill himself.
But he didn't mean it.
Oh, it's a question of rest. Rest in bed. Where's the delightful little home in the country where he'll be perfectly cared for?
Away from me.
I can hear you.
The people we care for most are not good for us when we're ill.
He isn't mad, is he?
Well, let us say he lacks a sense of proportion.
He will not go to this home.
Oh, he has no choice. He's threatened to kill himself. It's now a question of law. Well, he'll be quite all right. And I shall visit him once a week. Mr. Warren Smith, we've had our little talk.
Septimus, Sir William says you are very ill.
We're arranging that you shall go into a home.
One of Holmes' homes?
No, one of my homes. We'll teach you to rest. We all have our moments of depression.
Once you stumble, human nature is upon you.
You have impulses sometimes?
That is my affair.
But you have a brilliant career before you.
I'll confess.
I'll confess, then you let me go. I'll confess my crime.
Yes?
It was... What was it?
Now, try to think about yourself as little as possible. Now, I'll make all arrangements and trust everything to me. Rest will do it. Rest in bed, rest in solitude. No friends, no books, no messages. 6 months is all it takes. And a man who goes in weighing 7 stone 6 comes out weighing 12. And now, if you'll excuse me, it's 1:30.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a dramatization of Mrs. Dalloway by Virginia Woolf. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, Catherine Ann Porter.
Almost everything has been said again and again about Virginia Woolf's dazzling style, her brilliant humor, and her sensibility. All true, I believe. Indeed, these are the obvious features of her work, easy to enjoy, easy to talk about. What no one of her critics has yet grappled with are the solid, the formidable properties of her mind and heart. She had a first-rate intelligence that played like a clear light upon everything it encountered. She was intellectually and emotionally fearless, or as nearly so as anyone of our time who was also a literary genius. She had a deep, generous, brave heart, all the better in its expression because her brain usually kept the upper hand of it. Her critical sense was so highly developed that discrimination, the act of choice, the instantaneous perception of relations and proportions between one thing and another, acted in her with the power of instinct. It had become that second nature which the artist, more than any other kind of person, creates for his own use out of the chaos of his natural potentialities. One advantage of having a settled code of morals, she observed, writing about Goldsmith, is that you know exactly what to laugh at. Virginia Woolf knew what to laugh at, and what to weep for, and what to love, and what to hate, and what to think about coolly. But all that dazzle did throw people off. E.M. Forster has probably come more nearly to a just estimate of her gifts than anyone else, but he groups her with the fantastic prophetic novelists Sterne, Melville, Dean Swift, Joyce, D.H. Lawrence. The fantastic prophetic keeps strange company, it seems, but I think Mrs. Woolf's place is not there. She may once have appeared like an unheralded comet, but she's settled into our sky once for all and shines with a calm radiance. The whole body of her work is now available. 9 novels, any one of which would have made the reputation of a lesser writer. Several books of critical writing, small literary biographies, the best of their kind, public speeches, models of good thought and good feeling, keener and purer criticism than many a professional critic has been able to equal. It is a noble day's work she did, at the cost of the sober and resolute discipline of all her faculties. Her brilliance was that of the patiently cut and polished jewel, each new facet giving out its released light and color. Read anything of hers. Begin anywhere. Begin with Mrs. Dalloway. Now it is easier to see that she talked and wrote only the most illuminated, genius-struck common sense. Her prophecies were no revelations. She merely could see the end in the beginning. She understood the logic of events and could foresee consequences rather earlier than most people. So her critics preferred to take the easy way and call her a muse, or a sibyl, or a prophetess, or change the work of her intelligence to feminine intuition. Anything at all to sidestep the fact that for some reason great numbers of persons in this world find painful to acknowledge. She was a profound genius of the first order, one of the glories of our time.
Thank you, Miss Porter. Our radio version of Mrs. Dalloway will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Lady Bruton sits at her luncheon table under the portrait of the old general. What is she now, his great-granddaughter, great-great-granddaughter, great-great-great? Well, she certainly should have been a general herself. She looks like one. Must say Hugh Whitbread has let himself run to fat.
One or two sugars in your coffee, Hugh?
Two, if you please, Lady Bruton.
Oh, Richard, do you know who's in town? Our old friend Peter Walsh.
Is he indeed, Peter Walsh? Well, now, I'm glad to hear that.
He'll be looking for a place, I imagine.
One can depend on that. What do you think, Galloway? One could mention his name to someone?
Yes, I'd like to see the old chap get something.
It'll do no good. Flaw in his character. He'll never get ahead. Why do you suppose he's back?
He's in trouble with some woman, I don't doubt. Richard, how is dear Clarissa?
Oh, she's very well, thank you. You're coming to our party tonight, of course, Lady Bruton.
Oh, dear, I shall try. Parties terrify me. I so admire Clarissa. She has such wonderful energy. But now, my dear boys, we must get to this affair of the letter you're going to write to the Times for me. Bless me. It's 2:30.
Magnificent woman, Lady Bruton. Don't you think, Galloway?
Indeed, yes. Magnificent.
You walking towards Condit Street, Whitbread? Yes. Let's go. Unseasonably warm, isn't it?
Whitbread has definitely let himself run to fat. So Peter Walsh is back after so many years. Clarissa will know about it. Peter was so much in love with her. I'll go straight home now, and I'll find Clarissa, and I'll tell her I love her. I'll tell her so in so many words. She's my wife. Yes. I'll tell her I love her.
Do you know this shop, Dalloway? They have excellent things. Wonderful antiques and all that. I wonder if Evelyn mightn't like that Spanish necklace there in the window.
Life throws up wreckage. Jacobean mugs and Spanish necklaces in a window where one stands looking for the man from whom one wishes only to part.
Now let's go inside for a minute. Do you mind? I should like to see Mr. Dubonnet.
Jewelry? I've never given Clarissa jewelry. Embraced it once years ago, and she never wears it. But Peter Walsh is back, and he loved her.
How much is this ring?
Thinking of taking something home to Clarissa, Dalloway?
Oh, I don't know. I'd like to bring her something, but I don't know her taste in jewelry, really. Well, let's go along. Dubonnet is out. I shan't buy anything until he chooses to be in.
What shall I bring to Clarissa? Flowers? A bunch of roses. And go straight in and hold them out to her and say, I love you. Well, why not? Oh, time comes when one can't say it. One's too shy to say it.
Well, this is my corner. Cheerio, Galloway.
One's too shy. One's too lazy. But it's a miracle that I married Clarissa. My whole life's been a miracle. Oh, look at those poor little creatures, 5, 6 years old, crossing Piccadilly alone. It shouldn't be allowed. They should all have nursemaids. How dreadful to be too poor to have nursemaids for one's children. Peter Walsh was really very much in love with Clarissa. I was terribly jealous. Now, here I am in the prime of life, walking home to my house in Westminster to tell Clarissa that I love her. Ah, life's a miracle, indeed it is.
Richard, what beautiful flowers. How sweet of you.
Oh, Clarissa, there was something I wanted to say to you.
Yes, dear?
Oh, nothing. It was nothing. Let's sit down for 5 minutes.
Of course, dear. Was the luncheon amusing? Did Lady Bruton ask for me?
Yes, yes. What have you been doing?
Oh, I've been so busy getting ready for the party. Oh, Richard, you can't guess what happened.
Oh?
As I sat here mending a dress this morning, who should come in but Peter Walsh? He's come back.
Yes, I know. Lady Bruton told us.
Us?
Oh, Hugh Whitbread was at luncheon.
Really? Oh, I met him this morning.
He certainly is
getting fat. But Richard, imagine. Peter is in love with some married woman in India. He's here to get a divorce.
How like him.
There he sat watching me mend my dress and playing with his pocket knife, just as he used to do. And it came over me, why, I might have married this man.
Oh, yes? Where's Elizabeth?
Upstairs with that Tillman woman, praying, I imagine. Praying at this hour.
She arrived just as we'd finished lunch, and away flew Elizabeth to shut herself up with her. Really, it's too much.
I don't like it, but it'll pass over.
In a mackintosh and an umbrella.
Clarissa, do you wish you'd married Peter?
Richard, what a thing to say.
Well, I just thought I'd ask. Well, I'll have to be off now, Clarissa. I'm late for a committee meeting. I want you to lie down now and rest for an hour, dear. You shouldn't give these parties. They're too much excitement.
Clarissa Dalloway is spoiled, people say. Her husband brings her flowers and makes her rest after lunch. That isn't true. I'm not spoiled. Richard's good to me. He likes to show that he cares for me. It's his simplicity that I like. People say things about him that aren't true.
Mother! Oh, pardon me. I didn't know you were resting.
It's all right, Elizabeth. Why don't you comb your hair, dear?
What does it matter about my hair? Mother, did I leave my gloves in here?
No, dear, I don't think so. Has Miss Kilman gone?
No, I have not gone, Mrs. Dalloway.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Miss Kilman. I didn't see you.
No.
Miss Kilman, don't you think it's a bit warm? I mean, for that heavy mackintosh.
Some persons, Mrs. Dalloway, haven't a large choice of things to wear.
Mother, Miss Kilman and I are going out to the Army Navy stores.
Elizabeth, you should be resting, darling. The party.
I think, Mrs. Dalloway, that if Elizabeth wants to come to the stores with me...
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Of course, I only meant...
We'll be going now, Mother.
Elizabeth, be sure to get home in time. Remember the party, dear. Please, Elizabeth, remember the party.
I shouldn't have to take jobs from people like that. That Mrs. Dalloway... I have a right to some happiness. No one should be clumsy and ugly and poor. Not a fine scholar. Not a fine historical scholar like me.
Mother gets tired. She always rests after luncheon.
That Dalloway. She ought to be in a factory or behind a counter like any other woman. I don't envy her. I pity and despise her. She hasn't the Lord. Doris Kilman has the Lord. 2 years and 3 months since I saw the light. Since the Reverend Whittaker showed me the light.
It is the hand of God. The Lord has shown the way.
I mustn't think of Mrs. Dalloway. I must think of God. Mrs. Dalloway is a fool. A simpleton. I pity her. Oh, but the girl, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is so beautiful.
I should like to buy a petticoat.
Ugly, clumsy. Clarissa Dalloway despises me because I'm ugly and clumsy. I mustn't mind that. It is of the flesh.
Have faith in God. Each of us is here for a purpose.
But what purpose?
God knows.
Why must I suffer?
God knows.
Here's the lift. We'll go up to petticoats.
Clothes don't suit me. No clothes suit me. Nothing can make me good to look at. And that means... Why am I thinking these things? They are of the flesh.
Have faith. Have faith in God.
I have everything I want now. Let's go and have our tea.
I want another chocolate eclair.
Well, have it then. Are you really so hungry?
I want another eclair, that's all. Elizabeth, there's a Mr. Kimfer speaking tomorrow night, a very interesting man. Would you like to go with me?
What's he talking about?
He's a man of my opinions. There are people, you know, who don't think the English are always right.
Oh, the war again. But the war's over.
Is it over for me? Turned out of my teaching position because I happen to be a German. Is it over for me?
Of course, it was very unfair.
My entire career ruined. Now I have to take what people like your mother will condescend to give me.
Mother means to be kind.
She hates me. She hates poor people.
You know, I don't suppose I ever thought much about poor people. Oh, really, I must be going.
Oh, no. No, no, don't. You mustn't. I haven't finished my tea.
Oh, then I'll wait, of course. But really, it's rather stuffy in here.
She wants to leave me. This beautiful girl, she wants to leave me. She mustn't. She's youth and beauty. Clarissa Dalloway mustn't triumph.
I suppose I will go to the party. Mother wants me to.
I never go to parties.
I don't like them much.
I never go. People don't ask me. Why should they? I'm plain. I'm unhappy.
You mustn't be unhappy.
Oh, I don't pity myself. I pity other people.
Really, I must go.
Must you? Must you leave me, Elizabeth?
Where are my gloves?
Must you leave me, Elizabeth? Don't forget me. Please, don't quite forget me.
Oh, dear. How tiresome. Oh, but it's lovely outdoors. Perhaps I needn't go home just yet.
Buy a flower, miss?
Oh, no, thank you. I prefer horses. I don't think Mother likes that.
Really, Elizabeth, you're quite lovely. If you'd pay more attention to your clothes, dear.
But that's so stuffy. Everything's so stuffy. How bright the sky is. Where's Somerset House? Miss Kilman is stuffy. Always talking about her troubles.
I thank heaven I know how to bear things like a Christian.
What does it mean to be a Christian? Perhaps I'll become a doctor. Or a farmer. Perhaps I'll go into Parliament. Something very serious. I don't think Mother thinks I'm very serious.
You're a perfect baby, Elizabeth, darling. I think it's charming.
Lots of women in the Dalloway family have done things. Abbesses, headmistresses. Oh, but those were all women's things. I think I'll be a doctor. Dear, what time is it? Mother wouldn't like me to be wandering about like this. Well, look at that queer man. Just sitting and staring out the window. What time is it? I'd better take a bus home.
Power and noise. Power and noise. Everything pouring on my head. But I'm not afraid. Why should I be afraid?
Septimus, what are you smiling at?
At nothing. I'm smiling because I know everything. Where are the things I wrote last night?
Here, dear, right on the table.
You mustn't leave them there. That girl might come in again.
She didn't mean anything, Septimus. She only wanted to clean the room.
That horrible girl. Standing over her witch's broom, laughing at my poetry. Laughing! They'll tear everything to pieces. Holmes and Bradshaw. They'll tear everything to pieces.
I don't like Sir William Bradshaw.
There are gulls. Gulls screaming above me. I'm looking into the sea. But I'm falling into flames!
Where, Septimus?
Don't you see?
You're dreaming, dear.
What are you doing, Lucretia?
Making a hat, dear, for Mrs. Filmer's daughter.
And what is the name of Mrs. Filmer's daughter?
Oh, dear, I've forgotten. But I'm afraid it's too small. She's such a large woman.
Why are you making the hat?
Because Mrs. Filmer's good to us. She brought some grapes yesterday. She came in to play the gramophone and brought some grapes.
Gramophone? Have we a gramophone? Why, yes. There it stands. It's real. I can see it. I'm not going mad. Tell me more about Mrs. Filmer's daughter.
She has a spiteful tongue. Her husband is in Hull.
Why, then, she has a spiteful tongue and her husband is in Hull. Then why should I rage and prophesy? Why must I be made to cry by a cloud? That hat will be too small for Mrs. Filmer's daughter.
Of course it will, but she chose it.
It looks like a hat for an organ grinder's monkey.
Oh, Septimus, how funny. Of course it does. Look, how is it now? With a rose on it.
Oh, better and better. Now she'll look like a pig at a fair. Here, let me put something on it. Give me a ribbon.
Oh, yes, do, Septimus, do. Here, take the pins.
Oh, she shall have the most wonderful hat. Ow. There. Now I've stuck myself with a pin. And I felt it. I felt it. Perhaps I'm not going mad. Just look at that hat.
Yes, Septimus, it's wonderful.
Put it on.
Oh, but I'll look so queer. Oh, Septimus, I'm so happy now.
And Sir William Bradshaw says we must be separated. What right is he to say must to me?
It's because you talked of killing yourself.
Bring me my papers. Tie them up and put them away. Holmes and Bradshaw mustn't get them.
No.
They mustn't get me. I won't tell them my messages.
I won't tell them the meaning of the world. I'll tell the Prime Minister, not them.
Mrs. Warren Smith? Mrs. Smith?
It's Dr. Holmes.
Well, he won't get me.
Dr. Holmes, you can't come in.
I've come as a friend.
I shall not allow you to see my husband.
In a funk, you'll say. In a funk, eh? Well, he won't get me. The gas. The bread knife. No, it's too late. They'll enjoy my dying, Holmes and Bradshaw. It's their idea of tragedy. They like that sort of thing. But life is good. The sun is hot. Only human beings. What do they want? Well, they won't get me. They'll never get me!
London is so efficient. There's some poor soul fallen ill and the ambulance whisks them away to be cured. A triumph of civilization. Yet civilization's very lonely, though. No one knows anyone. How can they? It's very painful, this failing. Clarissa had a reason for it once, in a bus going up Shaftesbury Avenue.
I'm all of that. Everything's a part of me. This bus and Shaftesbury Avenue and everyone I know. To know me, you must know everything.
I am a part of her, and she of me. We have had an effect on each other's lives. We come back to each other at odd moments. Remember Clarissa standing on a hilltop at Burton?
Come on up. Come up. You can see the Severn for miles and miles.
And we'd stop to beg water from an old woman in a cottage. And we'd walk while the others drove. Tramp miles and get lost and talk politics. And find a new flower for old Aunt Helena. Now what?
A letter for you, Mr. Walsh. A messenger brought it.
From Clarissa. It's her hand. She must have sent it off very quickly. Now what?
It was so heavenly to see you, Peter. I must tell you that. And do remember my party tonight.
Lady and Miss Lovejoy, Sir John and Lady Needham, Lord Lexham, Miss Will, Mr. Peter Walsh.
How delightful to see you. How delightful to see you. How delightful to see you. Oh, it's going to be a failure. I know it's going to be a failure. There's Peter standing in the corner, criticizing. I know he's criticizing. What do I care what he thinks? He thinks parties don't matter, and they do. They matter a great deal. It's going to fall flat. Why? Of course, Lord Lexham, I understand.
The most dreadful colder. She caught at a garden party at Buckingham Palace. Please accept her apologies, my dear Mrs. Dalloway.
Oh, perhaps it won't be a failure after all.
Colonel and Mrs. Garrod, Mr. Hugh Whitbread, Mr. Bowley, Mrs. Hilbury, Lady Mary Merritt.
How delightful to see you. How delightful to see you.
Mrs. Mount, Mr. Herbert Ainsley, Lady Bruton.
Lady Bruton, how good of you to come. Richard tells me that he had such a delightful time at luncheon today.
Lady Rossiter.
Lady Rossiter. Oh, who on earth is Clarissa? Sally. Sally Seaton.
Clarissa, dear. I was just passing through London and I simply had to see you. And here I am, without an invitation.
Oh, Sally, how wonderful.
I have five enormous boys.
Not really. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I want so much to talk to you. And how can I?
The Prime Minister.
Oh, Lord, the snobbery of the English. How they love dressing up in gold lace and doing homage. Yet you can't laugh at the poor chap. He's trying his best to be somebody. And Hugh Whitbread will make him somebody. There he goes, scraping around. Lord, isn't that Clarissa's Aunt Helena? Surely she's dead.
Oh, Peter, wasn't it good of the Prime Minister to come?
Very good.
Come, you must talk to Aunt Helena. She'll be so glad to see you again. Aunt Helena, here is Peter Walsh.
Peter Walsh? Oh, yes. Who is Peter Walsh?
Well, surely you remember, Auntie.
I used to be about Burton quite a lot in the old days, Miss Parry.
Oh, yes. Yes, you found me a flower once. Can't remember what it was. Delighted to see you again, young man.
Peter has been in Burma.
Oh, has he? And who's the Viceroy now? No, don't tell me, I won't remember. I spent many years in Burma, young man. Found some remarkable orchids in those mountains. I wrote a book on them.
Yes, Miss Perry, I know.
Did I ever tell you what Charles Darwin said about that book?
Yes, Miss Perry, you did. Good evening, Lady Bruton.
Well, Peter Walsh, I hear you're just back from India. You must tell me everything about it. Such a tragedy. India.
Now it'll be all right. The party is not a failure. Peter and Sally are talking. How she's changed. Older and happier. And not so fascinating, not so beautiful. Oh, no, not nearly so beautiful.
Sir William and Lady Bradshaw?
Why can't one like Sir William? He's at the head of his profession. He does so much good. He has to decide questions of such difficulty, and yet one can't like Sir William. Oh, well, good evening, Sir William. Lady Bradshaw, delighted to see
you. My dear Mrs. Dalloway, we must apologize for being so late. Just as we were setting out, I was called to the telephone. Oh, a shocking case. A young man killed himself.
Here's death. Here's death in the middle of my party.
A shocking case. A veteran of the war, you know.
He flung life away. Trying to communicate with life, he flung it away. Men like Sir William, did they make it intolerable for him? His defiance is my disaster, but I do not pity him. He's dead.
But where is that woman keeping herself? Where is Clarissa?
Oh, she has a lot of people to talk to. And so has Richard. He hasn't had much of a success, I suppose.
I never thought about it, Sally.
Oh, he wouldn't be. Of course, I don't know. I never read the papers. I have 5 sons.
Do you remember the last time we met? It was among the cauliflowers in the vegetable garden at Burton.
Ah, yes. I was marching you up and down. You had just had your heart broken by Clarissa. And you are catching the midnight train. You were going to write books. Have you written books?
Not a word.
Ah. And I have married a manufacturer. And I have £10,000 a year.
Before or after taxes?
Oh, I can't remember. My husband does all that. You must meet him. You'd like him. Oh, I do hope Clarissa is as happy as I am. Clarissa is a snob at heart, really. She thinks I married beneath me.
A snob? Well, yes, I suppose she is in many ways. Where is she all this time?
I'm proud of my husband. He was a miner's son, and I'm proud of him. Every penny we have, he earned himself.
Wherever is Clarissa?
I don't want you to think I'm being mean. Clarissa's very pure-hearted, I know. Only, well, one must simply say what one feels, you know.
But I don't know what I feel.
Ah, poor Peter. You did love her.
Yes, one can't be so in love twice. It has spoiled my life. I wouldn't say that to anyone but you.
Oh, Peter. Peter, you must come to stay with us at Manchester. You know, I'm positive Clarissa cared more for you than for Richard. I know it.
Oh, no, that isn't true. Richard's a good fellow.
Oh, but what has he done? Are they happy together? I don't know anything about them now. You know, sometimes I think I don't know anything about people at all. Sometimes I think that I can be happier with flowers. Do you ever feel that way?
No, I prefer human beings.
Oh, but we can't know anything about them.
On the contrary, we know everything. At least I do. We don't know anything when we're young, but now that we're old...
Oh, I'm 55 and I feel like a girl of 20.
And now that we're mature, we can watch, we can understand. Yet we feel no less.
Mm, that is true.
One should be glad of that, but one can still feel things.
Mm.
You know, there's someone I'd like to tell you about. A girl in India.
Why, Peter. And you're in love with her. You are, aren't you?
Yes, I am. But she's married.
She must come to Manchester too, then. You both must come. Oh, I think it is wonderful that you're in love.
Now, you take a girl like Elizabeth.
You know what to make of her?
No, I don't. Not yet. But I'm sure she doesn't feel anything as deeply as we do. Not by heart.
Ah, but she's devoted to her father. You can see that.
How?
Why, only by looking at her. Oh, see how she walks across the room and stands by him. Oh, I think that is wonderful.
This is quite remarkable. I stand here and I say to myself, who is that beautiful girl? It's your daughter, Richard Dalloway. It's your Elizabeth. How beautiful she is.
The party's almost over, Dad.
Yes, my dear, are you glad?
Aren't you?
Oh, I think it's been very tiring for your mother. I must tell you something, Elizabeth. I stood here a moment ago looking at you and thinking, who is that beautiful girl? And it was you.
Perhaps I wasn't just to Richard. Perhaps he has improved. I believe I'll go and talk to him.
I'll come with you.
Ah, well then, come along, Peter. Why are you sitting there? Oh, I see. Clarissa! Clarissa, come and talk to Peter. He's been waiting for you for hours.
Has he? Poor Peter. So delightful of you to come.
You have been listening to Mrs. Dalloway, an NBC Theater production of the novel by Virginia Woolf. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in the supervised course and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a special Easter Day broadcast of The Nazarene by Sholem Ash. And the following week for an NBC Theater broadcast of After Many a Summer, Dies the Swan by Aldous Huxley. Mrs. Dalloway was adapted for the NBC Theater by Clarice A. Ross. Our intermission commentator was Catherine Ann Porter, whose commentary was recorded. In today's cast, Marion Richman was Lucy, Doris Lloyd was Clarissa, Charles Davis was Peter, Leonard Mudie was Whitbread, Ramsey Hill was Richard, Monty Margetts was Lucretia, Robin Hughes was Septimus, Constance Cavendish was Sally, Gerald Cleveland was Holmes, Crawford Kent was Bradshaw, Arthur Naismith was Lady Bruton, Virginia McDowell was Elizabeth, Elizabeth Harrower was Miss Kilman, and Bruce Payne the Reverend. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Theater Guild on the Air presents Cornell Wilde, Walter Huston, and Martha Scott in All That Money Can Buy, the Stephen Vincent Benet fantasy of a man who sells his soul to the devil. Listen first for Phil Harris and Alice Faye, and then hear Theater Guild and All That Money Can Buy. That's today on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.